You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. John chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. Your book, your word, help us that we would have the immediate benefit, the wonderful blessing that honors you. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. You remember in our study of John chapter 15 is part of 16, 17. In the upper room, the Lord is going out, going to be crucified in a matter of a few hours. And in the process, he's encouraging the 11, and thus all of us, encouraging them to look to God. They only see a crucifixion in a little bit, as they understood it at that point, a prison, a death. They had no future. As far as they were concerned, the world as they would have it is all over. It's all gone. Our Lord is trying to correct that and help them. It's a momentous thing that they're going to have, an opportunity to be representing him in a most unique way. And the Lord thus is going to go and help them. So he's going to give them an awesome assignment. And they're going to go, because of this awesome assignment, to represent him. And the world is not going to be happy that they represent him. Now, they have been with him for 3 1/3 years, so certainly they know the response of people, etc., etc., the Jews in particular. And therefore, there's no surprise. Now, in their relationship, we share together that God has given them a very special relationship. And to him. And the reason they're going to go, and in the process, chapter 8:15 and verse 18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. So they we've been dealing with all of that, and in the light of that, the darkness loves darkness and hates light. And the mind and the heart is in darkness. And therefore, being dead in trespasses and sin and in darkness, if you have only darkness, how do you understand light? How would you understand light? I could give you words, but after all the words are done, apart from words, how would you understand it? If you're dead in trespasses and sin, how do you understand life? I'm trying to help you understand why people aren't enthused to know life. Why aren't they enthused to know life? Because they don't understand life. They understand darkness, but not light. And therefore, in the dark, it's very hard to explain light. Using a different illustration that may help you in the process. Well, I don't want to use it yet. It's if I can remember it. Now, if you can, in the light of this. So the world system is not going, he tells them, they're going to be hated. And it isn't because of them, it's because of their relationship to God in a most wonderful way. And we share together, as you know, in chapter 14, 15, etc. We share together, this relationship was awesome. They are to be, as we shared in John 15, branches. They are to be so attached to the Lord that they abide and rest in him. And they live a whole wonderful existence by just abiding. And they're able to withstand the storms, the weather, the bugs, the disease. And they just keep living. And the normal things of life that would throw and put us a person out of business, they just keep going. They abide. And very personal. We share together the word my, my. And let me go over to verse chapter 14, if I can. And picking up in verse 27. 14 and 27. I just want a little pronoun, and then we'll just hit it over and over. Chapter 14, verse 27. Peace, said the Lord, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Back up to the beginning. I give you my personal peace. The peace that belongs to the wonderful, perfect humanity and deity of Jesus Christ. I'm giving you my peace. Not only, as we shared, my love, my peace, my love, my joy, my friends, my slaves. All of it's personal. And it isn't about them. It's because of their relationship to God in Christ, by Christ, that they have this unique relationship. And that does something and says something. And it's going to be revealed, because that's the whole purpose, as you know, by way of his resurrection, etc. Now, having said that, all of that is in his name, for his name, for his glory. He's the only God and the only Savior. And the world hates light, loves darkness. Death doesn't want to know about. Death it knows about, I should say, but it really doesn't know. We don't know. I'm going to use a thing, you know this. If I were going to tell you that, do you understand death? And not one of us can stand up and say so. Not one of us. No, we don't. You would have to die to understand death. And as long as we're coming along in our heartbeat and everything, we don't. So how do I understand spiritual death? Well, my problem is that spiritual death is the absence of life or the absence of God. But I really don't understand the absence of physical life, what death is. So therefore, like darkness, I don't understand light, and like death, I really don't understand that. I think I can talk about it. Have I experienced it? No. No, I haven't. I don't know it. Not at all. Now, I just don't know. We talk, use the terms, but we have never been there. And thus, how do we understand spiritual death, again, is because we don't understand spiritual life. So now, having said that, so we're dead, we're born, Ephesians 2:1, etc. We're dead in trespasses and sin, that's us. And if God comes along and saves us, saves the human heart that would believe, and therefore, God, you bring us into your timeless life where you have your uncreated life. That is a unique relationship to Almighty God for his glory and honor. So now, when you come now to chapter 15, and we slide down over, if I can, to verse 19, I'll read it. If you were of the devil, you would know not God at all. The devil doesn't want to know God. So now, looking at chapter 15 and verse 19 directly, if you were of the world, you're looking at the world, and if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So remember now, they're in the upper room, and they're there, and the people are going to know, and the association with Christ. in the upper room, and they are told, chapter 14 in that, to be able to, chapter 15, to abide and to be able to ask, and they have a unique relationship to God. That's what they're having right now. They're with him. They don't have his life. They don't have an understanding that they're going to have, but they certainly are associated with him. And if anyone's going to say, and they're going to say, aren't you a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ? So they're all going to know this now. So in the light of that, so if back in verse 20, remember the word that I have said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If, and it's true, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept, and they have, my saying, they will keep yours also. So as they honor God, honor Christ, they're going to honor you. As they dishonor God and Christ, they will dishonor you. They're not going to approve of you. So therefore, they're going to hate you. That's what they're going to do. Now, in the light of that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so they're going to keep my sayings. They're going to keep my word. They're going to keep it. Now, sliding over to pick up the flavor of that, so you see it, over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 6, chapter 6, going to verse 67. 6 and 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Remember, they all left, crowd left. We're going to follow him anymore. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered and said him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So they're already caught up in it, Peter, James, and John. They're all caught up, but they aren't able to put it together yet, but they're already there. So when the Lord tells them, they're already there, in the sense, they're already in the right direction, the right way, for the right reasons, it's going to come out right. So now, having caught that little bit, chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, you're going to have it as we move along to pick it up again. What were we told? John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, abide, the word abide, to continue, to remain, if you continue, remain, abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, or truly, for sure. You're my disciples. And that's what they were hanging in there. They just didn't understand him. But they had no question. What he said was awesome, and they were followers, even though they weren't ready to understand and possess the truths that they're in. Over, if you would, please, over to in chapter 12. And again, you're going to pick up what God had told them. In John chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, said the Lord, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say, and what I should speak. And the Lord did just that. That's what he did. So they had his word. That's what they listened to it. They were there 3 1/3 years to absorb what they could from a human standpoint, and they did. Now, over to chapter 17. The Lord prays before they go out into the garden, And in chapter 17, you'll please note in that prayer how he identifies that he's given them his word, and that they will understand it at that point, but not yet, at Pentecost, chapter 17 and verse 6. I have manifested, made clear, public, plain, I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's why God's saying, hang on. And verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So, back over to John chapter 15. And in verse 20, they persecuted you. They're going to do that to you. They did it to me. They're going to do it to you. And they're going. And however they would have honored my word, as you and I honor, as they honored the word by God and God's word, honored God's word in their heart, that people would understand the spirit. Why? The Spirit of God confirms His word. That's what He's doing now. We just read it, and the Spirit of God authorizes it. I don't authorize it. I don't make it true. I don't do anything. Neither do you. Just read. It's what it says. It's what it says. It's what it means. God means what He says. Says what He means. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, God, this relationship they have, over to chapter 13, verse 16. I didn't want to miss that. Chapter 13 and verse 16, you'll remember in the beginning of the upper room experience, chapter 13, picking up in verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And that's what it said in the beginning. So when you come over to chapter 15 and verse 20, that's the little word at the beginning of the sentence. Remember, be mindful. Be mindful. I just told you. I'm telling you again in a most wonderful way. So in verse, if I can, in verse 21. But, servant is not greater than his Lord. And the servant, if the Lord gets clipped, so is the servant. Verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So all of these things they're going to do to you. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to be doing them. And they're going to do that. Because not because of you, not because of your anything, or how you could sing, or how you could preach. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be because of me, in my name. You're going to have such a relationship to me that relationship is going to show up. That's what God intends. And that relationship is you're going to know Him and honor Him and enjoy Him. He's your Lord. He's the only God and only Savior, and you're resting in Him. So now, like in verse 21, all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. That's why they're going to do it, because they don't believe. Now, having said that, hold your finger here if you like, and just go over to pick up the flavor of that so you see it. Acts chapter 5, not very far away. Acts chapter 5, and you'll see it in the book of Acts as they were outworking this relationship they had. Chapter 5, now go to verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted, these are the disciples, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now the council, they could have had all kinds of argument or discussion. But the trouble is, they were honoring God, and that was not approved. They dishonored. They didn't want it. They shouldn't honor God. They could give their religious views and talk about pie in the sky or whatever they want, but don't bring us God. You can go to church up to your eyeballs, but don't bring us God. Don't let God be the head, as we shared last time, in Caesar, in the days of Rome, in the days that you're reading about here. Caesar is Lord, and if you didn't honor Caesar as Lord, you were persecuted at different times intensely and to death. They needed to know what? Jesus is Lord. There is no one else. Whether we live or whether we die, he's the Lord. Now, while you're in Acts, overview at chapter 9, and you'll see it again just because of his name. And that's, you want to know that, because it isn't, say, I don't want to be offensive. It isn't you that's going to offend. It's God. And you're going to honor God. Well, then you're going to be offensive. That's what you're going to be. Be offensive. It's all right. Acts chapter 9 and verse 16. What did you tell the Apostle Paul at the beginning of his conversion? He told them, 9 and 16, for I will show him, the Lord said, I will show him how great things he must suffer. Now, Paul, why did you have to go through all that? For my name's sake. That's why. Paul, you're a Pharisee, a persecutor of Christians, a killer, putting him in prison, all kinds of things. But that isn't going to be the issue. The issue is, Paul is going to be able to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And as he did that, he's going to make it known in an awesome way, and they're going to go and get him in all kinds of ways. He's going to say, they're going to say, he's of them. They turned the world upside down, the Roman world. Terrible, terrible, off, awesome time at that point in history. Now, so because of thy name, my namesake, because of the reason, thy name, and because of God the Father hath sent him. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to verse chapter 15 and in verse 22. And in 15 and 22, if, and it is not true, it's not. If I had not come, but I did come, if is in the second, contrary to fact. If I had not come, but you did, and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sins. If I hadn't come, but I did, they would have no sin. But they do. They do have sin. And, verse 22, but they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak. And the word cloak has to do with that which has to do with covering, a hiding, a pretense, a hiding of something, presenting something that isn't true. You're trying to cover up your real thinking and your real reasons of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Now, in the process they said, we have sin. Now, they did have sin. And a way that was going to help you get this is if you had, for some reason, lived a little on planet Earth, and you never went out when the sun was out. And for some reason, whatever it is, you worked the night shift or something, and whatever you did. And in the process, you didn't. So you'd be, every day, you lived in the sunlight, didn't you? That's what you did. There'd be sunlight everywhere, sunlight. That's what we live in. Now, so here's the sunlight. So there's no question that all of us are in the sunlight. Now, then the question arises that when we go out at the right time, the height of day or something, there's the sun up in the sky, and we are able to look up in the proper way, up at the sun, and the brightness of that star, of that sun. Wow. Wow. Now, for you to come back in here and say, there is no sun. The light that we have in the normal light is sunlight. And for you to deny that the sun is the source of that would be silly. Why? Because you just stood at the height of the day and looked up, and there's that bright, brilliant fireball up there. Wow. That's the sun. To deny the sun is one thing. To deny sunlight is another. We're all guilty of sin. No question. We have an old sin nature. We're dead, darkness and death, and we need to get saved, light and life. No question. There's not a question of that. We already have that. But when we go out, and they did what? For three and a third years, not all of it. They had all of that time to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, his words and his works. They stood in front. They ate the food. They had the healing. They were healed. But they denied him, that he was God in the flesh. That was the problem. Now God said, it's one thing, you're guilty of sin. But when you go and covering up that I have showed you, touched you, did it all these months, all in a very personal way it could have been, and you tell me that I'm not who I am, that's sin. Is a sin on top of sin. That's guilt on top of guilt. And you're going to pay for that. And they did. What did they do? They went to the cross and they said, we have no what? We have no king but Caesar. What did you continue to say to Pontius Pilate? His blood be on us and on our children. And it is, and it has been, in a awesome way. Now, in order to see that a little bit, over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 11. They had no cloak, no way to cover, no way to hide their sin. And you will notice, please, chapter 11 of Matthew. And remember now, as you're reading through the Gospel of Matthew, presenting Christ as the King of the Jews. And in the process, the Jewish people are rejecting him as a people, as a nation. And therefore, that's the context for chapter 11. And in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's the background for it. The same as in John chapter 1, that he came unto his own and his own received him not. Next thing, verse 12, as many as received me. So he opens the door to the Jew first properly, and they reject it, and then he opens it to whosoever. That's what he's doing. Now what's happening, the rejection? Hang on. Chapter 11, picking up please in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes, like Nineveh did with Jonah. Verse 22, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. They're all guilty, but you're double guilty. You had light, and you went away from it. You turned away. What kind of light? You had light in the wonderful body of Jesus Christ, God literally standing in front of them. And you turned it down. I showed you, he said, my works, my words, and all of the wonderful things that you could see and have. I put out my hand of flesh to yours. My hand is holy. Your hand is unholy. You could have touched me, and they did. Could have done all kinds of things. Could have all, but we're different. And they hated him. Now God said what? You're using the whole affair, crucifixion, hang on, I don't want to jump ahead. Let me finish here. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell, or Hades. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. It's worse. You had the advantage of personally being in my presence, and I did all of these things. And you're turning around, hang on, back over if you would, Matt, John, Gospel of John, chapter 10. And you will recall, John chapter 10, picking up if I can, in verse 33. The Jews answered, remember, I'll read verse 32 to help you, help us. 10 and 32. Then Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. From which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered, verse 33, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And you're using that as a cloak, as a covering, to protect you. You do not want to acknowledge who I am. You want the benefit of healing and food, which they did, signs. You wanted all of this, but you didn't want to honor who I was. And the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And God put on a human body in the incarnation to show his wonderful person, who created us in his image and likeness, and would go to the cross and die for our sin. Wow. Now, hang on, back over if you would, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, picking up if I can, in verse 22, I'll read that. If I had not come and spoken unto you, but I did, and they had no sin, but they do, now they have no cloak, no shield, no covering, no place to hide, no pretense. There's no excuse. They're without excuse. They're terribly without any excuse. Wow. Let alone the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. Everyone's judged for their works, not for their sin, not for their sins, for their works. Because Christ died on the cross for their sins. So we can't judge him for that. We judge him for what? The sin of unbelief. And what did their works do? Are you holding your finger there? Hold your finger here. Over to Titus. Titus, if you would. And picking up, please, in chapter 1. And in Titus chapter 1, picking up, if I may, they had a profession, but no possession. They God's our Father, etc., etc. And we talk about God. Don't you can't get us for not talking about God, about mentioning God. I mean, we aren't godless, or are we? Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works. That's why Revelation 20 is a judgment of works. Because the works say, if you knew God, your work would show it. Without faith. How are you going to show your works? By faith. You're going to believe God. Verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, that's unbelieving, and unto every good work, reprobate, rejected. Wow. Now back over to chapter 15. So God, here we are looking, and they just are guilty as can be. They're guilty as can be. And that's why they're going to be able to freely move the crowd. And the crowd is moved to say, crucify him, crucify him. That's what they're going to do in unison. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, and the Jews, witnesses, but you know what? As we go down the corridor of time, Babylon, captivity and all of that into our day, and right now, still, the Jewish nation as a nation would be rejecting Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they'd be saved. Wow. They don't want Jesus Christ. That's why they're going to make a treaty with the Antichrist. Why can they make a treaty with the Antichrist? Because they don't want Christ. How much do they don't want Christ? Well, back then they said, crucify him. What are you going to say in the tribulation? Antichrist is better than Christ. Unbelief. You pay dearly for it. No. So they had all of this, and God is telling them. Chapter 15, if you would. Chapter 15, picking up in verse 23. He that hated me hateth my Father also. They hate God the Father, they hate God the Son, and they hate God the Holy Ghost. They just hate. That's what they do. And it's in the present tense. They continue to do so. Over to verse 24. If, and it is not true, if I had not done among them the works which were done, which none other did, man did. No one ever did what I did. And we shared together in the process of different ways of coming as we studied and reminded ourselves that when God spoke, he didn't have a little counseling time, and the waiting room was full of 5,000 people, and the 5,000 people are there, and he has a waiting room, and they invite him in. He says, what's your problem? And he looks up in his medical book and says, I'll take care of it. He didn't do that. He got all of them sitting out there. Boom! And healed. How many? We don't know. Thousands. We don't know. You'll never hear of it. Interesting. Why not? That's an awesome thing. Like going in a hospital and standing outside. They bless their dogs, bless the place, and boom, everyone's healed. They all walk out the door. Wouldn't that be something? Especially if it's a big hospital, you know. Wow. But you don't hear of it. Darkness and death. And it doesn't connect to the awesomeness. Think what we just did in looking at God's wonderful knowledge that is practiced by his perfect wisdom. And they couldn't even come close to thinking about those things. Wow. So here we are looking, John chapter 15, and in verse 24. If I had not done among them the works that other men did, they had not sinned. They had not sinned. But now they have both, seen and hated me, and my Father. They did that. Now what's the problem? You're guilty. But you guys are really guilty. You had all the advantages, and you turned around and rejected them. Now, would you tell me, if we go back to our son illustration, here's our son, and I try to tell you the light is from the sun, and you refuse to look at the sun. You refuse to look at it. So we can talk about the light from all kinds of different ways, but never have to talk about the sun. But if a tornado come along, use your imagination for the fun of it. Here comes a tornado, and the tornado is a very powerful, geared one, and it comes across, and God in His wonderful grace lifts the roof off, lifts the whole roof off, and tornado, but the sun, and He's going to put the sun right up there. And we're in the presence of the sun. So there's no way we could deny the sun. No way we could deny it. And if we deny it, what is there, what do we do if you refuse to receive the sun, S-O-N, shining down on top of you with its heat and its brilliance? What do you do if you don't want to believe the sun? If you don't want to think about the sun? If you want the sun to go away? What would you do with a person like that? What would you do with them? I don't know what you'd do with them. God said, listen, I've made myself known in a most wonderful way. And over, if you would please, back to John chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 24. They have known. Now, in the process, and they had known, they would have seen, but they didn't see. They didn't want to see. So what is there to say? God, what are you going to do to help them? He said, I don't know. What do I do? What do I do for them? That's why, you know, we said it last time or so, lots of times. Matthew 12 and 38, thereafter, etc. The only sign I'm going to give to the unbelieving Jew is a sign of an empty tomb and a risen Christ. That's the only sign God said I'm going to give him. They want a sign. When I give them a sign, they don't believe the sign. I gave him words and works and healing. I gave him everything. And they rejected it. They put a cloak over it and made it as if it was not true. The sun really isn't there. But the sun is there, S-O-N. So God, here we are looking. Now, in the light of that, verse 25. But this came to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, the scriptures. They hated me without a cause. Psalm 69, etc. Psalm 35, etc. About the Messiah. They hated him and they had no reason to hate him. Why would you hate him? Why would you hate God who loves you and died on the cross for you? Why would you do it? Why would you reject him? Why would you close the Bible and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Why would you do that? Because men love darkness rather than light, and because their deeds are evil. Now, having said that, we read in the scripture reading in the morning, Psalm 19, and the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth showeth his handiwork. So you can't go up in the sky with the 2 trillion plus galaxies they think are there, and more than that. And in the process, and look down at the flowers, bugs, birds, and your own awesome body. Creation. It just didn't happen. It can't happen. Just think what we did in the Sunday school with the A, T, and G, and C, genes, etc., genetically. Wow. No. So God, here we are looking. And God, the heavens declare, and then you have the rest of the psalm, has to do with God's word, the scriptures. We have the Bible in front of us. We have the flowers in front of us. We have the, everything's in front of us. And it's just what it says. And God, and you, everything, obviously, the flowers are unique. The bugs are unique. You're unique. Stars are unique. The universe is unique. No question. So we aren't going to question that. We just, what are we going to do with the why it exists? Why do we even exist? God. So now, over to John. John in chapter 20. First John. No, regular John. Regular John, yeah. John before he became First John. John chapter 20. Not talking, but I hope you get it a little bit. Now God, you and I cannot. We cannot duplicate what they did. We do not have God in the flesh standing in front of us and healing and doing and being. We can't duplicate that. So God, so that you got that out of the way, so we can't get into that problem at all. No, God, what have you done? Well, I've gone and given it so that you can say, know me. You can blaspheme me and do many things. Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, etc., etc. But you may speak evil of me. But if you decide, like the Apostle Paul, on the Damascus Road, who was persecuting Jesus Christ. He, in a moment of time, he was converted. Why persecutest thou me, Paul? And Paul was saved. So anyway, we can do that. And God, we can still get saved. Absolutely. Can we get into this other problem? No, it can't happen anymore. Can we get guilty? Guilty? No. We're just guilty enough. So God, and here's the heavens telling us, and Romans chapter 1 tells us we're without excuse. Read it again and see it without excuse. And here in John, God, good news. That's why I wanted to get you the good news. The guilty part. Guilty. God, we're guilty. But we have a wonderful Savior. And therefore, John chapter 20, and picking up, please, in verse 22 of Thomas in the resurrection, in the upper room, and then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. That's just a human say. Paul, Thomas isn't there yet to get all the benefits of the Acts chapter 2. But boy, his hand, he could go. And the Lord said, you just do it. This is real. The body is real. I am real. Are you going to pull off what the Jewish people did in general? No, I'm not going to do that. What are you going to do, Thomas? And I shared that 100 times too. If it was you or me standing there, I wouldn't raise my hand up. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. And that's us. That's us. Nope. And now put it together a step further. Over to 1 Peter, closing. Appreciate your patience. 1 Peter. And in chapter 1. And you will notice in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's Peter, and here we are. Peter, we're lined up with the rest of them. Verse 8, whom, having not seen, you love, and when and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now God, we can't see. We're in his presence always. You never can be out of his presence. And God, I can't touch you. But you can touch me. You can touch us and save us, so that we are able to know God and be very comfortable in your presence. And God, you know what? Darkness doesn't like the light, and death doesn't want the life, and people don't want me, being just like an ordinary, we're all ordinary human beings. But God, you have made us extraordinary, extraordinary. You made us very special in your Son. So when I received you as my Savior, and we did, God, it changed. And Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. You betcha. And God, the world may not like me being saved, may not like you being saved. And I remember that when I, Catholic, I shared that just for whatever worth it's. Yep, there, many years ago, up in Boston, my family's all Catholic, except my mother and father, of course, and all Catholic neighborhood, everything's Catholic, call it that. And they all got together because I came back from when I was working in engineering, etc., in California, and came back, and then they all want to know what happened. You know, God got a hold of my life. It wasn't, I was saved. I was saved to the uttermost. But I just wasn't enjoying being saved. And God got a hold of my life in a most wonderful way to take it. He did. And so they all there were gathered together, and they're all there. Oh, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I remember just sitting there. I think I told you all these things. I said, I didn't have any explanation for them. I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And I wept. That's what I did. And no one ever said a word to me again. You see, he's my Savior. Like it or lump it, he's my Savior. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and your kindness, and God, just for your caring. So set apart all this time, and God, we stumbled trying to get a handle on it. God, it's such a wonderful thing your grace is, God, that goes and does for us and bees to us everything that we need in order to come to know you. So God, thank you for what you do and how you do and when you do. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.